looking back a long way, from time to time, Molly tells me of something that happened at the end of every term when she was at secondary school. And on the last day of every term, when Molly was at secondary school, the whole school assembled in a large hall. And then at the end of the assembly, as the girls were walking out, the headmistress used to stand at the door and say goodbye to every single girl in the school by name. She knew every name, and she addressed every person in the place and said goodbye to them by name. It's one of those, for me, it seems, I don't find that easy. I wish I could go round this room this morning and be absolutely certain that I could get every name right, right down to the youngest nipper. And I'm not confident I could. I'd do reasonably well, but then you'd feel so sad if you were the one person I got wrong. But this headmistress used to remember them all. And you know, that same headmistress had a friend in Ravenshead. A teacher in Mansfield, actually. And when we had, well, Molly had been left school. She'd been at college for 3 years. We had lived in Lincoln for four. So 7 years after Molly had left that school and we'd arrived in Ravenshead, Molly went into the post office one day and must have had to tell them her name. And the person behind the desk at the post office said, "Oh, Miss Williamson's looking for you." To which Molly said, "Who's Miss Williamson? And how should she know me?" And it turns out that this same headmistress, 7 years after Molly had left that school, and having met me possibly twice, had communicated to this friend of hers that we were about to come and live in the village where she lived. And she thought she just might want to talk to me because Miss Williamson used to run the Gilbert and Sullivan Society, and she just thought she might entice me into singing Gilbert and Sullivan. Someone who had remembered, and not simply a name, but something about someone for that period of time. And you know, when that happens, it makes you feel valued and appreciated, doesn't it? When somebody has remembered something about you, particularly your name. And Moses was just the same, you know. In Exodus 33, which is one of my favourite passages, actually, Moses said to the Lord, "You have said to me, I know you by name, and you found favour with me." That's what Moses had heard God say to him. And Moses went on to say to God, "So if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favour with you." There was a short discussion between God and Moses, and at the end of it, Moses hears from God, "I will do everything you've asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Molly and I went to Jill's gran's funeral on Friday morning. And one of the ministers who read a passage of scripture, when he finished, I think it was him, I certainly heard this said at least once, possibly twice, he put his hand on the coffin and said, "Alice, good and faithful servant." And I thought to myself, you know, I don't just want to hear some preacher say it when I'm inside a box or something of that nature, but I do want to hear God say it to me one day. And every so often, when I'm feeling a little bit low, when nobody's encouraged me for a while, every so often I hear that whisper from God that says, "Well done, Graham, good and faithful servant." And I look around and I can hear God saying it to us one by one. So for me, this whole sense that God knows us by name has really excited me. I put into my computer, in my Bible package, a search. I put the two words, "by name," to see what came up. 35 entries came up, and virtually all of them were about people. And it said things like, it listed leaders of the clans, and it said, "listed by name." Chosen, by name. Designated, by name. Summoned, by name. over and over again. And as you read your Bible, you cannot help but notice that God knows so many people by name and wants you and me to know that, and I believe wants you and me to know that he knows us by name. Now, there are all sorts of passages I could read to you this morning just to illustrate this point. I've chosen one particular one. There are all sorts. I'm going to read to you Nehemiah chapter 12 in a moment. And this chapter comes at the end of the story, which in a few weeks we'll look at in a bit more detail. But for now, it's sufficient for you to know, if you don't already know, that this chapter, which comes virtually at the end of the story of Nehemiah, is a record of how Nehemiah, in 52 days, led the people of the derelict city of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And chapter 12 comes at the end of this story, and you will just hear a little bit about their celebration. So this is Nehemiah chapter 12. Here is the list of the priests and Levites who had returned with Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the high priest: Seraiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Malak, Hattush, Shechaniah, Harim, Meremoth, Iddo, Ginnathon, Abijah, Mianamin, Moadiah, Bilgar, Shemaiah, Joirib, Jediah, Salu, Amok, Hilkiah, and Jediah. And you don't know whether I got those right or not, do you? These were the leaders of the priests and their associates in the day of Jeshua. The Levites who had returned with them were Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, who with his associates were in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. Their associates, Bakbukiah and Unni, stood opposite them during the service. Jeshua the high priest was the father of Joachim. Joachim was the father of Eliashib. Eliashib was the father of Joadah. Joadah was the father of Jehonan. Jehonan was the father of Jaddua. Now when Joachim was high priest, the family leaders of the priests were as follows: Mariah was leader of the family of Seraiah. Hananiah was leader of the family of Jeremiah. Meshullam was the leader of the family of Ezra. Jehonan was the leader of the family of Amariah. Jonathan was leader of the family of Malak. Joseph was the leader of the family of Shechaniah. Adna was leader of the family of Harim. Helkiah was leader of the family of Meremoth. Zechariah was leader of the family of Iddo. Meshullam was leader of the family of Ginnathon. And Zikri was leader of the family of Abijah. There was also a leader of the family of Mianamin. Pittai was leader of the family of Moadiah. Shammah was leader of the family of Bilgar. Jehonath was leader of the family of Shemaiah. Mattaniah was leader of the family of Joirib. Uzzi was leader of the family of Jediah. Kalai was leader of the family of Salu. Eber was leader of the family of Amok. Ashabiah was leader of the family of Hilkiah. And Nethanel was leader of the family of Jediah. You'll be pleased to know that during the reign of Darius II of Persia, a list was compiled of the family leaders of the Levites and the priests in the days of the following high priests. That's Eliashib, Joadah, Jehonan, and Jaddua. The heads of the Levite families were recorded in the book of history down to the days of Jehonan, the grandson of Eliashib. These were the family leaders of the Levites: Hashabiah, Jerebiah, Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, and other associates who stood opposite them during the ceremonies of praise and thanksgiving, one section responding to the other, just as commanded by David, the man of God. This included Mattaniah, Bakbukiah, and Obadiah. Meshullam, Talmon, and Akkub were the gatekeepers in charge of the storerooms at the gates. These all served in the days of Joachim, son of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, and in the days of Nehemiah, the governor, and of Ezra, the scribe and priest. During the dedication of the new wall of Jerusalem, the Levites throughout the land were asked to come to Jerusalem to assist in the ceremonies. They were to take part in the joyous occasion with their songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, lyres, and harps. The singers were brought together from Jerusalem and its surrounding villages and from the villages of Netophonathites. They also came from Beth Gilgal and the area of Geba and Azmapheth. For the singers had built up their own villages around Jerusalem. The priests and Levites first dedicated themselves, then the people, the gates, and the wall. I led the leaders of Judah to the top of the wall and organized two large choirs to give thanks. One of the choirs proceeded southward along the top of the wall to the Dung Gate. Hoshea and half the leaders of Jerusalem followed them, along with Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and some of the priests who played trumpets. Then came Zechariah, son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, son of Mattaniah, son of Micaiah, son of Zachar, a descendant of Asaph. And finally came Zechariah's colleagues, Shemaiah, Azarel, Milalai, Gilalai, Maya, Nathanol, Judah, and Hanani. They used the musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God. Ezra the scribe led this procession, and at the fountain gate they went straight up the steps on the ascent of the city wall toward the city of David. They passed the house of David and then proceeded to the water gate on the east. The second choir went northward around the other way to meet them. I followed them with the other half of the people along the top of the wall, past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall, then past the Ephraim gate to the old city gate, past the fish gate and the Tower of Hananel, and went on to the Tower of the Hundred. Then we continued on to the sheep gate and stopped at the guard gate. The two choirs that were giving thanks then proceeded to the temple of God where they took their places. So did I. And together with the group of leaders who were with me, we went together with the trumpet-playing priests, Eliakim, Messiah, Minimam, Micaiah, Elanai, Zechariah, and Hananiah, and the singers, Messiah, Shelemiah, Eleazar, Uzzi, Johanan, Malchiam, Elan, and Ezer. They played and sang loudly, and clearly under the direction of Jezrahiah, the choir director. Many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day. For God had given the people cause for great joy. The women and children also participated in the celebration, but fortunately their names are not listed. And the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. And on that day, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the gifts, the first part of the harvest and the tithes. They were responsible to collect these from the fields as required by the law of the priests and the Levites. For all the people of Judah valued the priests and Levites and their work. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification as required by the laws of David and his son Solomon. And so did the singers and the gatekeepers. And the custom of having choir directors to lead the choirs in hymns of praise and thanks to God began long ago in the days of David and Asaph. So now, in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, the people brought a daily supply of food for the singers, the gatekeepers, and the Levites. And the Levites in turn gave a portion of what they received to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. Now, there are a number of those lists I could have targeted myself with. For example, if you were to look at the book of Numbers, there are loads of lists like that. If you were to look at the first book of Chronicles, the first 9 chapters are all lists of people's names. But you know, you can't afford to dismiss the names just as lists, because in those lists, every so often you'll discover a gem, a treasure, a secret. And even if you don't discover that, what you're reading of is a record of the fact that God knew people by name and recognized it and had it recorded. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. I haven't even noted down where this one is, but it's somewhere in the end of the book of Exodus. And it says, "So the Lord chose Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and he filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he's given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahismach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He's filled them with skill to do all the kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen and weavers. All of them master craftsmen and designers. So Bezalel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded." And I've deliberately read that one because that's not one of the priests, that's not one of the Levites. That list is a couple of guys who were really skilled in craftsmanship. They were the people who had the responsibility to build and assemble the sanctuary of God. And the second one, which many of you will know, you'll find this one in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. And it says, "Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain.' and God granted his request. Now, I've looked. Jabez isn't mentioned anywhere else. That slap bang in the middle of one of these lists. So-and-so was the father of so-and-so, so-and-so was the father of so-and-so. And then suddenly you get those two verses. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me." Somebody's made quite a lot of money writing a few books on that, those two verses. But actually also there's a whole host of people who've thought, yeah, if Jabez could say to God, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain." And God granted his request. That's all it says. But if you don't read the list, you'd miss it. Anyway, I'm not reading you any more lists. I just want to explain to you a little bit why I'm doing so. But just before I do, we'll take a look at the second part of the chapter, which was the easiest bit to read. But as I said on the first Sunday of January, and then Janet reiterated it last week, we've started a series of talks in our Sunday morning meetings on key characters of the Old Testament. Now, as well as making sure that we are all familiar with who these people are, we have a few objectives. Firstly, we serve a supernatural God. And he has always been a supernatural God. A God who speaks to his people and is directly involved in their lives in ordinary and extraordinary ways. And sometimes we think, well, that only happens in our generation. That only happens to people who are filled with the Holy Spirit in the way we understand it. But actually, we've already looked at Abraham. Janet looked at Jacob last week. Next week, John's going to look at the story of Abraham and Isaac. And in all of these stories, we discover a supernatural God speaking to ordinary people. But secondly, and this is the second but really important reason, we need to note that the God of the Bible, the God we serve, uses ordinary people and knows them by name. Sometimes specifying names, sometimes changing names. Abram became Abraham. His wife Sarai became Sarah. Jacob, last week, he was given the name Israel. Now, some of these names, it's quite obvious. You see, Jacob means supplanter or deceiver, whereas Israel means Prince of God. There was a declaration God made when he changed his name. Isaac, even before he was born, Abraham was told that son is to be called Isaac. What does Isaac mean? It means laughter. Now, when Abraham was told at the age of 100, and when Sarah was told at a similar age they were going to have a son, they are reported as having laughed, which is not unsurprising when you think about it. But also, the whole essence of this was joy coming to two elderly people who had waited decades for a promise to be fulfilled. And the son Isaac was the response. And it's interesting, isn't it? You see, I think it is so important for us to realise what God does with ordinary people like you and me. I found it quite interesting. There's a family that leads another church in the Ground Level Network a long way from here. And I know them quite well. And they've been through, both in the church and in their family situation, some fairly significant difficulties. And they'd been saying to God, "Are we in the right place? Are we doing the right things?" And in fact, as they looked around, they'd actually said to themselves, "We think we need to move." They'd actually said, "We think we'd like to move to Kirkby and Ashfield and become part of Ashwood." And they're great people. But they just paused, particularly because the rest of the church didn't want to see them go. And the rest of the church said, "We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to change some of these circumstances." And sometime I'll tell you some of the changes of circumstances and the instant answers to prayer. One was the group that owns the building they're in said, "We'd like to adjust. We'd like to renegotiate the lease for your premises." And these premises are a church downstairs and a flat upstairs. "We'd like to renegotiate it. You've been paying, I think it was £20,000 a year, something of the order. We'd like to renegotiate it for the next 10 years. We'd like to charge you a penny a year." Oh, it might have been a pound a year, but it doesn't make a lot of difference, does it? And you can't ignore things when you've asked God to do something and suddenly something like that happens. What's God saying? Well, there's all sorts of things God might be saying, and I still don't know what will happen with them. But as I reflected on it this morning, I thought to myself, actually, God's just reminding me that actually he's got a whole load of ordinary people here already, and some more who are not far away, who God is gradually drawing towards himself. Because he's got his purposes. And sometimes we think we could just do. Now, we have prayed that God would bring into this church people with gifts and skills who could help us do God's work. And we will continue to pray that. But we also recognize that already the place is full of gifted people who are doing God's work and who can do more. And so the third thing in my list, and the particular reason for reading that to you this morning, is we want to make sure, I want to make sure, that we are a people who appreciate one another and know we are appreciated. See, if you know you're appreciated by God, it does make a world of difference. If you've been working hard at something for years and suddenly somebody expresses appreciation of it, somehow it does you good. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean we can only survive with appreciation, but you and I all know that encouragement is one of the things that causes you to rise up and go for things, isn't it? And so I want to encourage us to be encouraging people. And the other thing is, when you ask God for something and we see an answer to prayer, let's make sure we thank him. Let's make sure we acknowledge it. I'm going to keep saying that until I find I always do it and you always do it. Because it's so easy to pray and then to miss the point. Now, in the second half of this chapter in Nehemiah, the bit that was easy to read, we catch sight of a great celebration. It takes place when the walls have been rebuilt. It is quite an incredible story, and I don't get into it yet because it would take too long. But you imagine a city totally derelict, stone walls pulled down, and therefore a sense of despair, a sense of discouragement. It was done deliberately by the invading armies. They'd pull the walls down so that people thought, you know, that place, we can no longer defend it. It no longer looks good. It no longer looks like a place of importance. And it had been rebuilt. And if you read the book, chapter 8, you'll find all the people in the surrounding area gathered to hear the law read by Ezra. Stands up on a big platform. Thousands of people listening to him. No PA. And he reads the first few books of our Bible. He reads them to them. And they discover there are all sorts of things they've let slide. There are all sorts of things that God expects of them that haven't been happening. In chapter 9, you find them confessing their sins and re-establishing the temple as a place of praise and sacrifice. They recommit themselves. They say, we will again bring our offerings. We will again bring our tithes, the tenth of what we have, to make sure that the temple serves its purpose. They re-establish the sense of singers. I did read some of that. There are appointed people. Going right back in the history, they take a look at what David had said. And we're now several generations afterward. And David had talked about singers and musicians to lead the praise and worship. And they were established. Then we read this list of those who are in a place of authority. And then the wall is dedicated. And then the Levites are brought in, especially those with the musical gifts. It's quite specific. Some of them come to play cymbals, some of them come to play harps, and some of them come to play lyres. The singers are in place. The priests were the one who sounded the trumpets. They all prepare themselves for this important day. And then verse 31 in that chapter says, Nehemiah had the leaders go up onto the wall, and he assigned two large choirs to give thanks. The actual word for choir, I've discovered, would literally be translated as thanksgivings. So it's what it's saying is he appointed two large thanksgivings. It wasn't just a choir to sing, they were thanksgivings. The whole essence of it was summed up in this one word. And then what we find is that Nehemiah takes half of them and Ezra goes in an anti-clockwise direction. Nehemiah goes in a clockwise direction until they meet at the other side. And then they come down from the walls into the temple. It talks about the singers singing to one another. the antiphonal singing, the sound, and the whole thing is re-established as things should be. Making note that the practices had been established by David and Asaph. That list goes right back to Asaph, who was the song leader in David's day. Goes right back to him. And it talks about all these things in place. And do you know one of the key words in that book is the word remember? Right at the very beginning of the chapter, Nehemiah makes a statement to God. And he effectively reminds God of his promises, and he invites him to fulfill them. He said, God, remember what you said. And that's the basis of his prayer. He's saying, God, this is what you said. Remember that. And now will you answer the prayer? And then it moves on. It says, remember the instructions you gave to Moses. You said, if we're unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling place for my name. And then right at the end of the book, Nehemiah, having done it all, prays again. And he says, God, remember me with favor. And a few times in between, he just says to God, it's almost like he's saying, God, I hope you've noticed what I'm doing. I hope you've noticed that I am really doing my absolute best to make sure that what you want to happen will happen. And so this morning, and we planned this some time ago, we wanted to take an opportunity to give thanks to God, but also to express our appreciation for those who make it possible for us to worship as we do and who serve us as well as God faithfully and often unnoticed. And in the same way that Nehemiah records by name the people who'd served in many ways, and in the same way that the Bible often notes by name who does particular things, because we believe God also knows us by name, we wanted to do that. Now, I'm not going to read out a list of all your names, because that could get me into all sorts of trouble. I think I could at least pronounce most of those. But And I'm not saying that we're going to remember and express appreciation of every single action. The essence of what we're doing is we're saying we're appreciative people. We are grateful to God and to one another. And so I want you to help me. Isn't it ironic that the first group of people on my list is those who particularly clean this centre and make it work? Now, that's not actually technically the work of this church. But we set the thing up, and we've carried on some sense of burden for it. It's ironic, isn't it, that the person who organises all that is Iris, and although Molly's absolutely certain she saw her pass through, she's not here right now. I presume Norman and Iris are speaking somewhere else, are they, Karen? So you see, there's just, I mean, you choose to do this on a single day, and some of the people you want to thank, because I know also on that list of people who clean the building is Corinne, and she's not here either. So you've got Norman and Iris and Corinne, but I know there are some other people in this hall who, week by week, serve on a rota that's diminished slightly, should you feel the call of God this morning. But I'd like us to, I'd like you in the first place to know who does it, and then let's express our appreciation of them. So I would like the people who clean this centre to stand to their feet for us, please. Don't look at him, Ruth. Just stand up. We know you do it. And we know Catherine does it. And we know Claire's already standing. She was there ahead of us. Now, I also want you to know who I know Norman and Iris and Corinne. Is there anyone else who regularly does this? I was given the list, but I've left it on my desk at home. Am I missing anybody? I know. I was going to mention them in a minute because I knew they weren't here. But it is fascinating that the three people who are employed by ACR to do the youth work, they said when they saw what else was doing, they said, actually, we would like to go on this rota. It's not part of their job spec as far as I'm aware. But they said, we would like to be a part of that. And then, of course, to make the centre work, Caroline is regularly working in the office, so you'd better stand up, Caroline, please. And Norman does all sorts of bits and pieces. I'd like to do two things. I'd like to express appreciation of these people who are standing now, and I'd like you to make sure that when you see Norman and Iris, don't leave it to Caroline, when you see Norman and Iris and Corinne, make sure that you tell them that the church appreciates what they do in keeping this centre running. And we'll give them a round of applause. Would you do that? Thank you very much. Now, I realise I did embarrass Norman with that the other week anyway because of something that happened, but do you think you could help me embarrass him still further? And do you think you could make sure that when you see Iris and Norman and when you see Corinne, you each of you say, we're really grateful for the fact that you clean that centre on a regular basis and all the church think the same. And if, you know, if at least a couple of dozen of you do it within the next week or so, I just think that would be good, wouldn't it? Now, I have a second group. There are other groups. I'm not going to try and cover every single eventuality. Some of you, because I want us to catch the sense we're all a part of this appreciation, please. And I want you to make sure that this isn't an annual event. This is just every so often when you see something being done, I'd like you to just... You see, sometimes you think, well, I'm not important enough to thank people. Oh, yes, you are. Because we're all benefiting from it and we're all part of this. And it's at least as important if you thank folk as if I do. So please join me in doing it, will you? Now, there are some groups that we see a lot of. Would you like to stand to your feet, everybody who at some point in time contributes to our worship? That would be the worship leaders, that would be the PA guys, that would be the people who run the IT. Would you just all stand to your feet a minute, please? This is a huge number of people. This is a huge number of people, musicians, singers. Particularly, I want us to note the people at the back row, because the words flowing smoothly are absolutely vital to all of us, aren't they? And having the right words at the right time. Because otherwise we mess up. And of course, unfortunately, we don't always notice when it goes smooth as silk. And we realise we sang every word because they were all exactly where we wanted them. So, now, there will be a few people who are missing. I mean, Martin is, you know, it's too far for him to come this morning. And there are quite a number of others. So, you who are standing, you're likely to meet these people soon. But any of the rest of you, as you see someone, make sure they know that we are really grateful for all that they do for us and all that they help us with. When you see them smiling, tell them how much you appreciate it. And just encourage that over and over again. When you find everything's working smoothly at the back there, just make sure you thank them. And let's give them a round of applause now, shall we? A group that we only see occasionally, but actually they're vital to what we're doing, are the trustees of the church. Now, they're meeting on Friday. You don't hear from them very often. You occasionally get one of Gay's superb and humorous missives in a copy of the Ashwood News. And I dare say if some of the rest of us wrote it, you wouldn't read it. But because you know that when Gay's read it, you're going to at least smile. You're probably going to chuckle a bit. But hopefully you'll also remember what she said. And then they meet and they watch over our legal standing, our financial standing. There are one or two others that help with the administration of things. Let's see the trustees on their feet first, please. Have we got all of them in? One, two, three, four. There's Elaine's in the back. When we bring the zones back, there are a few people to thank out there, including, obviously, the zones leaders. So you've got these five people, plus Elaine Townsend, who are our trustees. And then in terms of administration, we ought to mention the fact that Janet does a huge amount of that. And so she does need to stand. I know she passes some of it, but she still does some of it. And actually, Claire does quite a bit of it as well. Please stand up, Claire. There's a good girl. Because quite a few of us know that if there's something we want doing, we'll get it done much more quickly if we just ask Claire, would you just ping me a PowerPoint, Claire, please? And all sorts of things like that. But we're really grateful, you folk. These folk are not only trustees of Ashwood Church, they are also now trustees and directors. Is that correct? Are we there now? We are. They are trustees and directors of... It's Ashwood Church again, which is a limited company, quite distinct from the charity, but don't worry about it. Because they know everything they need to know about this. Isn't that true, Gay? I thought so. And Gay has explained it to you thoroughly in one of her little missives. Let's thank these folks, shall we? Thank you. And actually, it's always important to remember that sometimes there are folk who lead the way, because I can't remember how many years ago it would be, but I do remember that for many years it was Malcolm who was keeping the books. And if he were here, I would have Martin on his feet, who serves as a treasurer right now. And people like Malcolm and John used to love giving the churches away. I do money away. I remember that. But they've served us so well, and our appreciation continues even when jobs are passed on. I want to mention the wildlife team now. Now, I haven't a clue who's going to stand for this one. I know Kirsty will. She's not even listening to me, but John's nudged her, so it's all right. She will stand without knowing. Wildlife was something that Lucy started while she was here, but very quickly, I'm not sure whether it was Kirsty took it from Lucy. Lucy sneakily gave it to Kirsty without her noticing. I'm not sure, but either way, it became Kirsty's to run with. And there are a number of people in this room, particularly a lot of people over this side, who it wouldn't happen if they weren't around. Now, at the moment, it's taking a bit of a rest, simply because, well, there are various reasons. You don't need to know that right now. What is wildlife? What is wildlife? What is wildlife? Wildlife is one of the most exciting events for children that takes place in Kirkby. It may be having a rest, and it may be resurrected with another name before long, but it was one of the most exciting places to be. It was one a really important bridge between the church and the community, because it had children from the church. It also had children from the community. It's one of the important connections, and it's vital. And so it will have to be resurrected eventually, but that will mean that there'll have to be a few more volunteers come on the scene. But those who've made it run up to this point, would you like to stand to your feet for a minute, please? Yes. Come on. Come on, Margaret, Margaret. Do you want us to consider you standing up, or can you manage? Thank you very much. Anybody else needs encouraging to their feet? Now, it's probably worth, I'll mention it while these folk are on their feet. I'm going to come to zones later on. Now, but just in case I forget, I want you to know that in Ravenshead, there's a kids' club that runs predominantly for the children of the families who live in Ravenshead. But that happens on a week-by-week basis for them. And I'd just like the folk who make that happen to stand up as well, please, just so that we don't lose sight of that. There are people who live in Ravenshead. There's Joe and Colin. There would be Jude if she was here. There's Gay. I can't see Gay standing. She probably feels she's stood once. I would know if you were standing, Gay. There are some people who I wouldn't know. But and it probably Jeff as well, I don't know. Well, pull him to his feet then. That would be fine. That would be fine. And no doubt David participates in this as well, but he's also elsewhere at the moment. But this is so important, because our children are so important to us. And, of course, every parent takes a massive responsibility for their own kids. But when the church also is active, particularly when our young people bridge that gap and make it an exciting place for children in the church and children in the town to be, that is such a good thing. So I want to say this morning, we are very, very grateful to you. Thank you. Now, of course, each and every one of you, if you spot a space here and you think, actually, I could do that, please don't hesitate to talk to somebody and volunteer yourself, because that would be... Pardon? Oh, I can do is not the issue, is it, really? I would like to is the thing, or I just possibly could. Or perhaps you could train me, anything like that, any of those possibilities. What's the thing that you enjoy as you step into this building on a Sunday morning? Coffee. Do you know, I thought it was the presence of God, but but actually there are a couple of things. Let's have the coffee first. Who serves us with coffee? Just stand to your feet. That's ever so many people. It's ever so many people. Jeff's the one who organises it. Jeff's the one who buys it. Jeff's the one who brings the milk. Now, I'm utterly convinced that there are a whole host of people sitting down that I've seen serve coffee. Come on. That's better. Come on, back row there. There's more. There's more. There's more. Come on the basis of you will if I will. Catherine's still sitting down. I'm quite certain she served me with coffee and washed up. Martin, Susan, come on. There you go, you see. Do the rest of you feel deprived? Very grateful. Let's give these folk a round of applause. Now, there will be people who aren't here this morning who need your gratitude. So particularly next time you see someone serving you coffee who has not stood this morning, make sure you express our joint appreciation. And those of you who don't drink coffee and don't drink tea, well, still be grateful that the rest of us are well served in that regard. Really important group of people I'd like to stand next are the small group leaders. Small groups in this church are really important. They are the place where, as individuals, we can connect with a smaller group of people and do so really effectively. And that's where we grow as disciples. But each one of those groups needs to be led by someone, usually led by a couple of people. And I'd like the folk who lead those to stand up, please. This is a constantly changing group of people. Would you like to stand up now, please? Those of you who are around to do that. Excellent. Tom is standing twice because currently he leads two groups. Simon has been drawn in to make sure we don't miss him. And Emma, of course, is included too, but she's in zones the other side. But Simon and Emma are leading a group now. And in this room, of course, we've got other people who at some point have led groups. Sorry. Oh, Ron should be on his feet. Ron, you should be on your feet. I'm sorry, Ron. You must stand. I apologise. Corrine is also... Corrine and Ron together lead the small group in Ravenshead. And so Corrine needs appreciation for that. Is there anybody else missing? Norman and Iris, yes. Norman and Iris, that's right, that's right. Okay. We'll express our gratitude to these folks, shall we? And again, if you don't happen to be in a small group... Actually, did Luke, were you standing just then?
No.
Why not? Well... You see, I want us to thank Luke because well over a year ago, as a relatively young person, Luke decided, nobody invited him to, Luke decided to start gathering the young fellas of his age. And the group he called Fishers of Men. And I've been to that group occasionally. And if you wonder whether Luke led it, I'll tell you he did. Because he bossed those folk around and he inquired, had they been reading their Bibles? It was insisted that they prepared in advance. Luke may be taking a brief pause, but we want to express our appreciation of folk like Luke who've done it. I'm just going to take a very brief pause because John and Vivian stood then because she's been leading with Molly, one of our small groups of older people in Ravenshead. But John and Vivian wanted... Can I have that microphone? John and Vivian wanted to say something to you this morning. You will have read, those of you who are avid readers of Ashwood News, you will have already read what they said, so you will know that their circumstances, not simply that they've moved to Blidworth, but other things have changed. Would you like to come, you two? But they asked if they could just come and say a few words to you, and I thought this was the sort of morning to do it. So I'll give you what I give to John, 2 minutes. And you know what John does with 2 minutes, don't you? But I mean...
Okay. But Chris was speaking on Nehemiah. It just reminded me of the very first time I met you, Graham, and you were speaking on Nehemiah. And at the time, we belonged to a church in Arnold, and you came as a visiting speaker, and I can remember clearly what you were speaking about.
Can you?
I can.
You probably can't.
No, but I can remember you cried all morning.
Yes, I do. I can remember that. But you're speaking about me and I standing on the
wall. Oh, yeah.
Facing his enemies, so I'm doing the work and I'm not coming down.
All right.
And it was really significant.
All right, thank you.
I still remember it. You know, sometimes you don't remember a preacher next day, do you? Well, this was 12, 13 years ago. And I still remember
Oh, thank you. I am. Yeah.
Give the zones a 5 minutes.
I know it's not always appropriate, but there's something really special about being part of your local church. Well, the job there, I moved to Lidwards earlier last year, and it settled in really quickly. It just felt like home straight away. And we got to know the neighbours quickly. We really felt part of the neighbourhood. And there's a good church down the road from us. It's literally a few minutes walk from where we live. So over the past few months, we felt that's where we should be, that's where we should be fellowshipping, and that's where we should be supporting the church in the local community and the activities in the local community. And we've been in Ashford about 10 years or so now, and we're really grateful for our time here. We've made some really good friends here. And personally, I feel I've grown a lot in confidence as I've come out of some of, well, really, out of my comfort zone and moved into some of the things that I think God has for me. And thank you to all those who have encouraged me and really given me the opportunities. But we do feel this is, it's a new season and it is time to move on. And really, I feel God's not so much taking us out of something as taking us into something new. And so we are looking forward to being involved in the local church and in the community there. But ultimately, we're all part of one church, aren't we? You know, in Ephesians, Paul says, he speaks of one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith. And we all want the same thing. We've all got a common purpose, to see God's kingdom, to see it grow, to see people saved, and come to know Jesus. I'm really looking to be where we feel we can serve God best. So we're looking forward to what God's got for us in heaven.
Okay, so we'll pray for these folks. Did you want to say something, John? Yeah. I know you're normally very quiet, but
I just really wanted to thank everyone in Ashford, you know, and it's quite difficult leaving a church. You know, this is the second church we've left, and it's always like part of your family, and it is difficult, but I do believe that's where God wants us to be in Lidworth, and you know, God's actually given me some time off work where I've been able to attend church every Sunday. And I do believe that that was part of God's plan where I'm getting to know people. But there are certain people in this church who have been very supportive and have got beside me and very encouraging. I'd just like to thank you for. Bless you.
So we'll pray for these folks, shall we? I have to say, these are such good friends of mine, I don't want to see them go. They'll only be just down the road, I know. And it is God's church, not mine, so I don't have veto on these things. But I want to pray, Lord, that you will abundantly bless these two, that you will cause their friendship to be really fruitful to many people, including those who do not yet know you, that their gift of hospitality will be expanded and extended, and that as they grow in the gifts that you've put in them, we pray for a really fruitful future, and we pray that you will direct their steps, that you will order their ways, and that you will cause them to be incredibly fruitful for the sake of the kingdom of God. Let your blessing rest upon them and go with them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yeah, I guess you could, Christina. Can't think of a good reason to refuse.
How many of you all know this? Well, everybody knows this. My dad passed away in April last year, and it was just before, it was the very last time my dad left the house, he left an ambulance. And it just so happened that Margaret turned up outside my mum's house, and John and Vivian just drove past. And I think really, I know you've been in the church 10 years, but that was just an incredible moment, because it was just so needed. And you were there to support me at a very vulnerable time. And I said, you know, I can talk about God, and I think that was probably one of them. And one very clear one. And I just think that as you move, that there'll be many more God appointments. And I'm just so the very beginning about just regular times, just every day times, and you two are the classic example of that, because God knows you by name, he knows that you know people by name, that you care about their names and their circumstances, and that you'll just be there to support them. So Father, we just pray that for John and Vivian, they will have many, many crucial God appointments.
Yes.
They're not necessarily crucial at that moment in time, but actually they can lead to further friendship and to knowing you more, because they've actually taken the time. You didn't have to stop that morning. I'm incredibly grateful you did. And we just ask that you bless John and Vivian, and pray that you must take this step of faith into many more work.
Amen.
I think you need to realise that the well will never, ever run dry. The well will never run dry. It will never, never run dry. And the good point you'll get, you'll feel like, well, I've got to connect with this. There's nothing left in the country. Nothing left in Brazil. But God's prophecy today, as to you, gentlemen, is that the well will never run dry. That Jesus comes to be sufficient. And his grace will be sufficient for every situation upon yourself. And may be the outcome to the judge for the world. Make good nothing but actually for everything. Because you've got Jesus. And the world will never run dry.
Excellent word. Very good. Thank you, Nick. Thank you. I've just got three more groups. We referred to them. But I want to express appreciation of the welcome team, who were really important. One of the things we realised a while back was that when people pass through that door, it's really important that the whole church welcomes them, and that's one of the reasons why we have coffee in that area available at the beginning of meeting, so that when visitors come in, somebody can chat with them and they can be welcomed with a cup of coffee. But of course, it's really important that they're welcomed with a smile and an appropriate greeting at the door. And so to know there's always somebody there is really important. So could I just have on their feet the folk who participate in the welcome team, please? Can you identify anybody who's not stood, Janet? There will be a few people who aren't around. Tamsin, Norman and Iris. Corrine again. Okay, and again, if this is something you think to yourself, actually I could help with that, then please talk to Janet, because, you know, when you find yourself on the coffee rota and the welcome rota on the same day, you know, we need to spread it around a bit. So if we've got more people, that'd be great. And part of this, although it's not the welcome, I just want to mention Paul and Jane at the back there. They're not part of the welcome, but what they do is at the end of the meeting, they help us tidy the whole thing up. They give people a nudge. They draw people together, and they make sure that as far as we're able, we leave this hall ready for its next use. And since we asked them to do that, they've done it week by week, and they've done it gently so that you've not felt anybody's nudging you or anything like that, and yet we benefit enormously. So if you two would stand up as well, please, as part of the making the church effectively encourage and be a welcoming place. And we'll give these people a round of applause, please. Penultimate group is the group of people who pray. Now, there are all sorts of ways in which people in this church pray. Some of you are on an email list, and an email wings into your box. Janet, of course, is constantly sending out these prayers. I feel they are vital. We are touching the world at times. We are praying for people we don't know, but together we act as a body to pray for folks. So if you are part of that, or if you are, and we're going to be setting up, even in the next 2 or 3 weeks, a prayer ministry team, because we think that prayer is so important for this year. But if you're part of the church's praying arm, would you stand up, please? This might include some folk who were regular Monday prayers, who haven't stopped praying for the church, I'm sure. So anybody else there?
There's lots of you.
There must be more. Those emails. If you don't stand up now, Janet will think she's sending you an email and you're not doing anything with it. Okay, let's give our expression of gratitude to these folk for praying on our behalf, please. Excellent, excellent. And there's one last group. If you folk would sit down, there's one last group. I want us to thank the folk who make the zones happen. That's the zones leaders, the people who work with them and help them, which is some of the parents. And we've done it right at the end so that we've given them time to get back. Are there any through there we need back here? Would you like to stand up, please? Those of you who work in the zones, that's a whole load of people. Yeah. Kids will lead the applause, I'm sure. Who else have we got? We've got Emma over here, who is currently taking the lead for us to make sure it all organises. We've got folk down here. We've got Dave in the doorway there. We've got a lot of folk standing. Let's give them a great round of applause. They do a fantastic job. Oh, sorry, I've just turned my page over. I've just found another load. I'll do one quick one, because all the expressions teams, they're on the back page, and I was thinking I'd got towards the end, because I was thinking I'd left zones at the end. But our various expressions, which are actually vital expressions of Ashwood Church that form a connection with different groups of people. So we've got folk who serve in Cafe Mosaic. Would you stand up? That's a whole load of people who serve us with coffee. There's a lot of coffee servers down the back row there. Come on your feet, please. There's Eric and Margaret. There's John and Kirsty. There's Jeff, who makes sure the coffee's good. Are you still part of that? You better stand, Nick, just in case, because you have been for ages. There's Sunday afternoon tea, which... Sunday afternoon tea's brilliant. There are four wives who plan it all and go home and tell their husbands what to do. So there's Corrine, Molly, Jude and Vivian. They'd plan it and then they'd go home and tell their husbands what to do. And then there's a wider team, which of course includes Norman and Iris. Caroline, Ronnie. Martin and Susan have signed up. So therefore they can be appreciated before they do anything. How about that? So you can stand as well. There's the Hope team, which Tom leads. So Tom needs to stand again. Just nudge anybody who's not standing from the Hope team. Some people have sat down yet and we haven't clapped yet. Come on. We haven't clapped you yet. You've still got to be on your feet. That's right. Hope team, anybody else in Hope team? There'll be some of them lurking here. Have I missed anything? Let's give a round of applause to these good folk. Please know, let's all stand for a minute. I shall pray and then we'll sing one final song, even though it's got a bit long. I've not mentioned the youth, haven't I? I haven't mentioned the youth. Well, now this gives anybody who's working within the youth area the opportunity to be forgiving and grateful towards me. I did say I wouldn't necessarily spot everyone, and I have to say that I did send my list to one or two people just to give them the opportunity to... was it on my list? Oh, that's even worse. I'd already put it there. Okay. Well, there are folk who make the youth things happen. Kirsty leading the way with that. There are barrel loads of people who are exciting members of that. We are truly grateful. I want to say to every single one of you, we're really grateful that you are a part of Ashwood Church. Now, if you don't happen to have stood up... then probably it's because your major area of service is outside of the church. And on this particular morning, we're not covering everything and we're not covering all of that. Because this morning the focus was on appreciation of what happens in the church. But I hope I've made the point that God knows each and every one of us by name. And he knows what you do. And he knows who you are. Because of course who you are is more important than what you do. But he expresses appreciation, but he expects us to be encouragers and appreciators of what goes on around us. So can I encourage you to really do that often, to express your gratitude to folk, to say how grateful you are, and particularly the folk we've mentioned who aren't here this morning, just make sure that they get bombarded with appreciation. And God, I say to you that I'm truly grateful for the gifts that you've put around us, for the skills that you've given, for the love that reaches out towards us, for the encouragement that we receive, Lord, because this is a very encouraging place. We are truly grateful to you for every good gift, and so many of those good gifts are expressed to us through individuals. We are grateful for all those things. Help us to remain positive, grateful people. Amen.